continuing our conversation here with Farmer Greg, and we've always got more talking points than we have time to cover.
I plan it that way, you know.
And we didn't get through half of what we had for segment one. And I'm going to sidestep us even more.
All right.
Because you had made a comment about, you know, working the urban farm, the same piece mm-hmm. of land for 30 years. And mm-hmm. there's something about that. It's just like the heartland of America. You know, when we go back to the family farm in Louisiana, it's multi-generations working the same property. And, you know, seeing that here locally, and I had to tell you, I bought a piece of American history to bring home to the Whitman Plantation.
Oh, my gosh.
1956, John Deere Series 70.
Wow. He's showing me a picture of it. That's cool. You got to post that on the
okay
notes page.
I will. And talk about appreciation for old-fashioned engineering.
Yeah.
A lot of people like, you know, why spend money on an old tractor? You know what? I could spend a lot more on a new tractor and not do anything on it. The mechanics are so complicated. I mean, there's nothing on this you can't look at and be like, you know what? I can fix that.
I can fix that.
Not that I want to spend all my time working on the tractor, but
right.
being able to work on something yourself, whether it's your land, whether it's your equipment, whether it's your vehicles, mm-hmm. whatever the case is, whether your horses, just your lawn, your garden, your urban farm, working on it yourself with your hands. There's something that really just is therapeutic, harmonious, heartland.
I was having this conversation with a buddy of mine this week. You know, how do we learn that stuff? My dad was a financial planner. By the way, his name was Norm Peterson when he was alive, not the guy on Cheers.
Okay.
And he was a financial planner, right? Exactly. Exactly. You know, he was a foreign.
And I don't think the guy on Cheers was a financial planner.
No. But he was into. I can't remember.
He's the guy at the end of the bar.
So my dad, you know, when I had a paper out in the 1970s, and so he taught me all about collecting the money and keeping the books and all that kind of stuff. But then when it comes down to all of the things that I learned, I can't even tell you how I learned how to use a table saw or sweep. You know, there's a particular way to use a push broom that's most effective.
So that you don't redistribute the dust into the air. You keep it on the ground and push
exactly.
it to your...
Exactly. You know, so, you know, these are all the cool things that I've learned along the years from people, I guess, observation and people. You know, I've integrated them in. And one of the things that I love, I have a 1985 Toyota pickup truck. I don't change the oil on it, but I could. You know, I don't do repairs on it, but I could. You know, it's the like this tractor of yours. I mean, you know, it's fixable. It's doable. It's something that we can, you know, we can handle that if we needed to.
So, all right, back onto our topic. And one of the talking points we didn't get to in the last one was how long trees will live. Now, you live in a citrus grove.
I do.
That's older than this 1953 tractor.
Yes,
or 56,
I do.
56 tractor.
So actually, when I moved onto the street 30 years ago, there was an old gentleman. He was in his 80s back then. His name was Wes. He actually grew up in the neighborhood. So he was there. If you do the math going back, he was there when they planted out these trees in the aughts and 19-aughts and 1920s. Right? So I actually have two Arizona sweet oranges on the backside of my property. They're still thriving. There is so much fruit on them. And they're approaching 100 years old. When I went back to school in 1999, 1998, something like that at Phoenix College, I took this writing class, and one of my assignments was to go out and find a cool book on a topic that I enjoyed. So I found this book, John McAfee. It's called Oranges. This is a 150-page history of citrus on the planet. It's a really cool read. It was, again, 1967 or something like that. But in here, speaking to how long they live, in here, they're on page 23, it says, in Europe, one celebrated tree called Constable lived for 473 years. Yeah. This tree, also known as Francois or Le Grand Bourbon, there we go, was planted as a seed in 1421 by the gardener of the Queen of Navarre. So You know, citrus, especially if you take care of them, can easily live 100 years here in the low desert. But there are specific things you have to do, and that's what we're going to talk about here in a little while, to make sure that you keep them thriving.
Thriving is the key, because what's the point of having a citrus tree if you don't get produce?
Or what's the point of having a fruit tree if you don't get fruit? In fact, what's the point of planting any tree? It's really important to set your tree up for success. So you want to dig a hole, maybe the depth of the pot your tree the tree is in, 18 to 24 inches wide. And what goes in the hole is really important. Because what we have to do is we have to set up a system that starts this process of creating healthy soil underneath. You take 40% of the native soil, because the native soil is really important, because it's got micronutrients in it, but it's bound up. So we have to make it available. And we make it available by adding 60% organic matter in the hole. Now, I sell a product called Farmer Greg's Planting Mix, which you can also get at Summerwind's Nursery, Barry's True Value Hardware. And it's specifically made for your gardens and for tree planting. It's a planting mix.
Is that what you do with Tanks Green Stuff out of Tucson?
Perfect. Yep, Tanks makes that 60-40 mix, native soil, some kind of really great organic matter, mycorrhiza, which is microbial life, fungal life that goes in the hole, an ounce of that, a pound of azomite, which is a vitamin pill for your tree, and worm castings. That's what...
Worm castings. That's a real polite way of putting it.
Worm poop, baby.